Through the storm. And I know from a couple weeks ago that many of us are walking through storms of different kinds in our lives right now, whether it's storms that are going on in relationships, whether it's storms that are going on at our workplace, in our homes, with health issues, with other things. And as we've been talking about that, we've been talking a lot about hoping in the Lord. And so what I want to start off today with was just asking, how have you seen God be there with you in the midst of the storm? As we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, as we've been calling out to him, how have you seen God in the midst of the storm? Anyone just want to shout out something that you've noticed or seen as God's just been with you in that space? Peace. Right on. Safety. Yeah. Comfort. Anyone else?
Physical and spiritual strength.
Physical and spiritual strength. Interesting. That's awesome. Presence. Yeah. Sometimes it's enough to know that he's right there beside us, walking in the midst of the storm. He may not make the storm all go away. He may not give us all complete calm and a change of scenery, but he is there in the midst of the storm. And it's so encouraging to hear that for you guys, too, he has been there in the midst of the storm as we've been leaning into him and finding hope in him. For us, too, I mean, we've been in the midst of a storm. I mentioned last week with just a family member who was diagnosed with a significant illness. And, you know, as we've been just walking alongside of that and, you know, getting some what we think is good news, but we're hopeful that that means God is doing a healing work in his life, we just continue to wait and continue to allow God to bring his peace in the midst of that storm. Now, where that brings us to today is, you know, when we feel that sense of God's presence with us, when we feel that peace, that comfort, that safety, that strength that he gives us in the midst of the storm, it can oftentimes lead us to a place of worship and wanting to be able to give him thanks for his presence with us, just wanting to call out to him in praise. And so today, as we finish off our summer in the Psalms, we're actually finishing off with the second last psalm in the book of Psalms. It was going to be one of the two, right? Either 149 or 150. Decided to go with 149, but it's a psalm of worship to God. And we get to that place sometimes when we're going through difficult things and we see God in the midst of it, that we just want to cry out to him in worship and praise. And so we're going to read this psalm, a psalm of great praise to God today. But just before we do that, let's just pray and ask him to speak to us through his word. Father, as we listen to you again in the words of this psalm, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, may our hearts join with these words in just wanting to give you worship and praise for meeting us in the midst of the storm. And Lord, for those of us who are still waiting to see how you're going to be there in the midst of the storm, we just pray that you would meet them today, that they too would be able to cry out and just say or sing these words as they see how you've been there for them too. So Lord, as we read these words today, may you just speak to our hearts, reassure us again, encourage us, strengthen us. May we just meet with you in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've read it before. Let's read it again. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Well, as we get into this psalm, there's a few things I want to just note as we kind of walk through this together today about worship and choosing to worship God. And one of the things that comes out, first of all, that we read in the psalm is that sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, this is a phrase that's used in a number of other places in Scripture as well. It's used a number of times in the Psalms. Another example would be in Psalm 140, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. We see it in prophecy. In the book of Isaiah. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that's in it. You islands and all who live in them. These former things have taken place. New things are happening. So sing to the Lord a new song. Because there's something new going on. We also see it in the last book in the Bible, which is Revelation. We see it actually twice. This is the first example in Revelation where we see it in chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. We're getting there. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Talking about the work of Jesus when he was slain. And he became as a lamb who was slain, and now he was worthy to open the seals of the scroll. No one else could. But he could because of what he had done. So they sang a new song. This was something that hadn't happened before. And so they needed new words, a new expression to be able to sing worship to God because of what he had done in this space. Now, just so you know, when we say sing to the Lord a new song, it's not that we are against old songs. All right? This is not to say, let's take the hymnal and chuck it out the window because those aren't important anymore. We always have to look for new music. That's not what this is about. Okay? We still value old songs. And in fact, the book of Psalms is filled with moments of remembrance to sing again and retell again the people of God's story as they've seen him be faithful all through the ages. Okay, so there are psalms that go back and look back to when God met Moses and he sent Moses to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt and then they came into the new land and God gave them this new land. All those kinds of things are recounted over and over and over and over. So we're not saying don't sing old songs because some of the old songs are really important to remember what God has done. But we also want to be able to sing a new song to recognize what God is doing now. God is not only God of the past. He is not only the God who wrote the history that we read in here, and now he's not around anymore. Or now he's checked out and he said, good enough, you guys are on your own. He's not like that. God continues to be at work. God continues to meet us in the storm, as we've heard this morning already. And so God is doing a new thing, and so we need new songs to tell of what he's doing. In Jason's life this morning, he stood up in front of us and shared his story with great courage in front of everybody because there's a new work going on in his life. And he's giving testimony to what God is doing in his life. He is writing a new song in his life. As we know, today is the Hewitts' last Sunday here with us before they head off on a new adventure, a new calling that God has been drawing them towards for many months now. And they are stepping out in faith to follow him. And in their life, God is writing a new song as they step out to follow him in mission. And for many others in our church family, we have Karina and Jenner heading off to school. This is their last Sunday with us for a while, too. And others who have moved on. Megan and Evie's heading off to school, too. And we have others who have moved away. The Copelands left last weekend. There are other people moving to new adventures and new things that God will do in them. And he is writing in their lives a new song. And for each of us who are walking through the storm right now, or each of us who are walking through other things in life right now, God is creating new things in us all the time. And so we have the opportunity to sing a new song. It is not just a salvation song. We can start with a salvation song about how Jesus met us and he came to us and he died for us and he let us know he did that for us, so we came to find new life in him. That's a starting place. But then what are the songs that are written after that? As God continues to meet us and grow us and give us life. Sing to the Lord a new song. Because God is always doing new things. So let's continue to write new songs of praise to him. Let our worship be fresh. Let it be full of joy for what he is doing in us right now. So sing to the Lord a new song. He also says, praise the Lord in the assembly. Worship together. Don't keep all those new songs to ourselves. You know, it's great when we have spaces where we go and worship on our own. It's great. I know lots of people love to be out in nature and maybe be out on a hike or up on a mountaintop or out on the on a really nice crystal, just calm lake, and you're just sitting there. And in that space, you find it really, really easy to worship God. And that is fantastic. But we should also worship God with one another. We should be able to sing those new songs. We should be able to tell those stories of what God is doing when we get together. And that's important for us because it really does help to encourage the rest of the people of God. Now, Jason, for you, I don't know if you know, but baptisms for everybody else in the church is one of the most encouraging times we walk through together. And it is always a blessing to hear someone's story of what God has been doing in them and then watch them go and get soaked and come back up to say, yes, I'm following Jesus. We love that, right? Everybody loves that. And you having the courage to do that encouraged everybody else here today, which is fantastic because you were willing to share your story with us. And for all of us, when God is doing a new work in us, how encouraging is it for others to hear what he's doing? Because we never know the storm that they're walking through. We never know if they're walking through something that we've just been through, and they need to hear, God has got you through this. So we worship God together. We have praise to him in the assembly so that there are times, and I know there have been times, when I haven't felt like singing the songs. There have been times when I just am really struggling, and it's hard to sing a song of praise to God because of the space I'm in, because of where I'm in, just whatever's going on. And I'm just quiet in that space when worship is going on around me. But I can't tell you how much it encourages me to hear the voices of others who can lift up their voice in praise to God wash over me in that space. To encourage me and let me know it is going to be okay. God has got me in this. We worship together to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to remind each other, really, of what's true about God. Because sometimes we need reminders. In the midst of life, we can forget that he is faithful, he is good, and he will carry us to the end. So we worship together. We worship with one another because we also want to give God the credit for the good things he's doing in our life. We don't want to make this all about us, but we want to celebrate him for what he has done. So praise God in the assembly. Worship together. One other thing I wanted to say about worship quickly was that worship is something that is joyful. And this is not to say that it cannot be reverent or cannot be done with a sense of awe, because absolutely it should be. But the word here is rejoice. And there's many more words in this psalm that kind of give that sense of actual joy and celebration. Words like be glad. Words like worship with dancing. Do they allow dancing in the Alliance Church? It's biblical. There you go. Worship the Lord with music, with the timbrel and harp. We don't have any timbrels and harps, so we use electric guitars and bass guitars and drums. And we pump it up sometimes because we are happy and we are joyful about the good things God has done. We want to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so, yeah, we crank it up sometimes. But all of this joy, this is all rooted in the character of who God is. It's rooted in His faithfulness rather than our circumstances. And so we can rejoice. Because even at those times when I feel like I can't rejoice because of what's going on around me, I can still be part of rejoicing because of who God is and what He is about. If I root my worship in Him and not in my circumstances, I can still choose to rejoice and be joyful. Not to be downcast, not to be in a space of just total, here we go with another song. You know, but to joyfully celebrate who He is. Rejoice. Be glad in the Lord. Worship Him with dancing. Right, Rod?
Amen.
Right on. All right. Now, you know, on the side of just rejoicing and being able to sing a new song to tell of the things that God is doing, I believe it was last week we were praying for the Peters in Spain because they went back to Spain. And it seemed like they started to hit all kinds of roadblocks right away. They hit a roadblock with some banking issues that they had, where there were some extra transactions on their account that they had no idea where they were from. And that's kind of not something you want to be seeing in your bank statement. And they also came back, and Kurt just got really, really sick. And so, I think it was with his ear, right? His ear was going, doing something crazy. And so they asked for prayer right away. And as we prayed last weekend and as other people were praying for them, the bank thing got all turned around. It's all straightened out. No problem. They went in. It's all good. And they got some medicine for Kurt's ear, and he's doing better. So God is meeting them in the midst of their need. And we want to be able to give God praise and glory for the good things He's doing in meeting them in that space as they go back into ministry in Spain. But we also want to recognize that when we worship God, it is not disconnected from some of the realities we face in this world. And one of the realities we face is that we're in a world where there is someone else who is against us. And this is a place where there is a spiritual battle that takes place on a daily basis. We live in a world where there are principalities and powers in this place that are at war with us who follow Jesus. And so we worship God with a song in our mouth, and it says also with what? What in your hand? A double-edged sword. A double-edged sword in your hand. It's kind of like when Nehemiah was leading the Israelites to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem after it had been destroyed, and they went back to fix it, and there was opposition against them. So with one hand, they were putting bricks on the wall, and in the other hand, they had their sword ready to go, in case they had to battle opposition. In the same way, we come here to worship God and to give Him praise for what He's doing, also recognizing that in the midst of life, we're in the midst of a battle, so we have a sword in our hand. This is what I love about this psalm. This is one of the reasons I chose this one rather than Psalm 150. Psalm 150 has lots of great instruments it talks about and praising the Lord that way, but I love this because it recognizes the reality of life. Sometimes it might feel a little bit like, you know, Scripture may be a little detached from what you're going through right now. That somehow we kind of detach worship. Worship is a separate thing and it doesn't interact with the rest of life. But here we see that it does. Worship of God is not ignorant of the struggles we go through. It is not ignorant of the enemy who attacks us and would love to take us down. Worship recognizes that and calls us to also have a sword in our hand to stand against the enemy. So, the psalm says to have a sword in your hand. It connects praise of God with justice in the world and seeing things made right. You know, I was thinking about other places in Scripture where we see this kind of connection. And one of them is a song that we used to sing a lot. It comes from the Psalms, which goes, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And I used to think of that song just sort of as a, you know, be exalted, God. We lift up our hands and, you know, you're amazing. Then I started to think about it a little more. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Now, what does it mean for God's glory to be over all the earth? Does that mean like a really nice sunset that we just go, wow? Or does it mean that God's reign as king and His righteousness spread over all the world so that there is no longer injustice, there is no longer suffering, there is no longer starvation, there is no longer any marginalization of any person across the world? What does it mean? When we do the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. We praise you, God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven." What does that actually mean? That doesn't mean we just kind of keep doing whatever we're doing and all the world just keeps going to hell in a handbasket and God is devoid of any interest in this. That means he changes things here. That means God's will, his kingdom, his reign, his righteousness comes here on earth. As we lift up praise to God, holy is your name, we also say in the same breath, your kingdom come. Change what's here. Bring the battle to our doorstep so we can see evil be destroyed and we can see your righteousness reign. Praise on their lips, a sword in their hand. These things are connected. And our worship of God is connected to seeing the justice of God and seeing the good things he will do in our world to change things. Now, I just want to issue one little quick caution as we look at this text. Just because this psalm has been used at points in history to justify holy war and going to war against people in the world who have a different perspective. And I think while there are times to stand up in our world for justice, we need to be careful with this too. Because as Paul said to us in his letter to the Ephesian church, our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against forces in the heavenly realms. That's where our battle is. We may look at people and go, those guys are the problem, but the problem isn't necessarily the people, it's the spiritual forces behind those people. That's where our battle lies. And so that's why he says, take up the armor of God, right? Helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take up this armor of God so within on the day of the battle, when the enemy comes, you will be able to stand and not be overcome. Worship of God is not disconnected from or without understanding of the very real battle that we're a part of in the world. Worship brings engagement for us into the world to stand alongside God and bring about justice in this place as we stand against those principalities and powers. So worship, while it is something that we can do together and it's something we can do to proclaim who God is, it also sends us back out because it sends us out wanting to see God and his reign be known on earth. So it sends us out into the places of injustice to bring justice. It sends us out to the marginalized to help bring them into community. It sends us out into all the places of the world where there's hopelessness in order to bring the hope that we can find in Christ. Worship sends us out to engage the world. It is not ignorant of the world. It sends us out in order to meet others in the storm and to let them know that in Christ they will be okay. Worship brings about engagement with the world for us. So it is about singing a new song. It is about testifying to the good things that God has done. It is very much about doing things together so we can encourage one another. Worship is about rejoicing and having really a party in the name of God because he is amazing and wanting to celebrate him. And worship is also about joining him in engagement in the rest of the world, in the dark places, so they will be able to experience the light and hope of Christ. So, as we wrap this up today, I have two questions for you. Well, sort of three. The first one has two parts. A and B. What is the new song that God is writing in your life right now? What is the new song he's giving you as he meets you in the midst of life circumstances, in the storm you're going through? What is that new song that he's writing in your life? And how are you going to share it? How are you going to share it with others in order to encourage them, to bless them, to strengthen them? Second question, where is God sending you? Where is he sending you out to engage the world around you right now? To bring his righteousness, his reign, his hope? Where is he sending you into? For some of you, that's a really obvious and easy answer today. You know where you're going. First to Ontario, then to Texas, then to Madagascar. You guys know where you're going. For others of us, it may not be as obvious. Maybe it means that person down the street who has always been a really annoying person, that God is saying, you need to go there. Because there's stuff going on for them that I want to bring my peace in the midst of. Maybe it's someone at work. Maybe it's someone who you know you're getting back to school, like in just, what is it now, a couple weeks? And you know you're going to be seeing them again face to face. Maybe it's time to just bless them and speak into their life. Where is God sending you? Is it a people group? Is it a specific person? Is it a family? Who is it? Where is he taking you? So there's your two questions. What do you do with the new song God's given you? And where is he sending you? Today is our last Sunday of our month. And on this Sunday, we always take time to come to the Lord's table, which is another space of worship. And it's another space to retell the story of what Christ has done for us. The new song comes out of this when we think about how we are experiencing the reality of that now. How we're experiencing the reality of what he has done for us. But the Lord's table retells again the story of what Jesus did for us when he came from heaven to earth, and he came in the form of a little baby, grew up, lived a life that, unlike us, was sinless. He didn't do anything to violate the law of God, of the way God had set things up to be. And so as a sinless sacrifice, he was nailed by his own people to the cross and died. And by doing that, he could take all of our sin upon himself, pay the penalty for it, have it done, so that in him, we could be forgiven. Of course, that wasn't the end of the story. He was raised again to new life. He went back to the right hand of the Father in heaven. That's where he is now, waiting until he comes back again, which he will do. But he told us in the meantime, until he does, we're supposed to come to this table that has just a little bit of bread and a little sip of juice, the bread representing his body, which was nailed to that cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine, and the little bit of juice that represents his blood that was poured out, his blood that came out of his body, the blood of the sacrifice, so that there could be a new agreement between us and God, that in Jesus we'd be forgiven and have new life in him. And so when we come to this table and we eat the bread and we drink the juice, that's what we're saying, that we identify with that story, that we receive from Jesus what he gave to us. And so it's a great chance to worship, to tell again what Jesus has done for me and for you. And so in just a few moments, we're going to be receiving the bread and the juice of communion and continuing to worship God as we do that.